Thank you for joining us for another powerful message from the teaching ministry of Destiny Church. We hope that you'll be challenged and stretched to grow through today's message. But most of all, we hope that you'll encounter the Father's love. If you're in the greater Mobile Bay Area, please join us for our weekend worship celebration. Or if you're looking for a church family excited for a revival, please come join us in bringing heaven to earth.
We're in this series that I'm going to end up today. I'm going to end this series today. And I've done my best. Pastor Wesley's done his best to try to bring to us an understanding of God's grace. And before we dive into that, let's say our declaration. This is our declaration that we say every week. God created me on purpose, with purpose, for a purpose. You're not an accident. And what was the purpose that he created us for? Serve. We're servants. So that's why he created us, to serve others, to be his image throughout the earth, to serve him. And so let's learn today in this last message on grace. We're in this series called Gracial Recognition, and it's all about being able to see if we can recognize grace in ourselves or other people can recognize grace in us. In Matthew chapter 7, we're going to go there, but it's going to be towards the end of the message. And in Matthew chapter 7, if you want to go ahead and get that ready so that when I get to that point, we can just dive in and go straight to it. But I want to ask you a question today. I want you to, first of all, look around the room. This is always a little awkward for people because, you know, it's like, oh, who's looking at me? No, just we're all looking. Everybody's looking. So if you feel uncomfortable, we're all looking. Just look around the room. Look around the room. I'm fixing to say a strong statement because everybody's looking and grinning and smiling. There's a high likelihood, I'm not the judge, but there's a high likelihood that the people around you that are sitting near you, that some of the folks around you are going to die and go to hell. Now look around. It takes on a different, whole different connotation now, doesn't it? When you look around and you think there are people in this room who will be eternally separated from God. Pastor Rife, you're trying to make a dramatic point. No, I'm saying the truth. The scripture says that Jesus was filled with grace and truth. He was filled with grace, but he also came to tell the truth. Church family, we're living in a day and time where people, they want to live in grace, but they do not want to live in truth. Man, I had a conversation with a childhood friend of mine, and he reached out to me on Facebook. He sent me a message privately and was asking me some questions. He knows I'm a pastor. We grew up as little boys. Not that this matters. I'm just giving you some context, okay? He's African-American. I'm white. They were the first black family that moved into my neighborhood when I was, I think, in the maybe 5th or 6th grade. We became close friends, and I loved their family. They might be actually, he might actually be watching today. I don't know. And we got into a conversation, and it was a debate. I don't debate with people. I just don't do that. You're welcome to your belief, and I do not have to convince you. If you don't even want to believe in Jesus, I don't have to convince you. All I have to do is say the truth, and you're responsible for what you do with it. But as he and I were talking, he was combative mildly, not just like fierce, but he was mildly combative over a lot of political things and things going on in our nation, and you know, how can Christians do this and yada yada this and that and the other, and you know, and he's a Christian, and how can he and I be on such different varying? And I said, well, listen, brother, I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to use this. I'm not going to use Donald Trump. I'm not going to use Biden, Obama, any of the Clintons, any of the Bushes. I'm not going to use the mayor of Daphne. None of that. I'm going to use this every time. I'm not going to water down or abandon truth based upon what the government will give me. I don't care if Shay and I read this article and they're saying, hey man, if this thing goes through, we're gonna have a $1,700 per family-ish in the United States hike in our taxes and yada yada. All of that is just fear stuff. And that actually might happen. But see, God is in control of my finances. He might not be in control of yours, but he's in control of my finances. And I hope he is in control of yours. But see, I do not worry about finances. I do not worry about recession. And I'm probably a little more careless with money than Shay is. What Pastor Wesley was talking about earlier, he and Shay are those people. Caitlin and I are the other. You know, we go into a restaurant the other night and I wanted an extra scoop of ice cream. And so this is just a little bit of me and old I'm the numbers cruncher over here. The lady comes back to the table, and after I ask her, you know, can you give us an extra scoop of ice cream? Because I love ice cream on my brownie, and I don't want to share with her. And I said, can you give me an extra scoop? She went away, and she said, yes, I can make that happen. She comes back, and she's like, well, there's really no way. I'm like, I'm thinking in my head, it is. You take a scoop, you scoop it out, you put it on the thing. That's that easy. She comes back and she tells me, she's like, well, there's no way for us to really do this except that I charge you as like a separate side dish. And so it's $4.50. And I'm just mad now, you know. And I said, can you make that happen? And Shay, number cruncher over here, you can hear her. She's, you know, over there, and she's like, you're going to pay $4.50 for a scoop of ice cream. I am. I know I can go over to Publix, and for $2 more, I can get a half a gallon. I know, but she doesn't just made me mad, because I just want what I want. And so I'm like, and so yes, I'm going to pay $4.50. I'm going to enjoy this. And here's the reason I say that, because I done got to the age, I don't care what the prices on the menu. I couldn't always do that, but I just done got, you know, old. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't care. I want what I want, and just make it happen and bring me back the bill and we'll take it. I mean, come on, man. Listen to me. $4.50 ain't gonna break us. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's in control of my finances because I pay my tithe or bring my tithe. I give in offerings like Pastor Wesley was saying. And I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought him in times that I had need. And the Lord said, just do my word and I'll take care of you. And I'm telling you, we've done the word. We live that and God takes care of us. And so when it comes to us living out the faith, whether it's finances or it's our marriage, listen to me now, whether it's our marriage, whether it's me as the pastor of the church, I get pastoring stuff wrong, I get marriage stuff wrong, and sometimes I get money stuff wrong. There's not an area of my life I don't get things wrong at times. But those are mistakes, they're not lifestyles. They're mistakes and not lifestyles. And if you remember from last week, I was talking to you, like when you keep making the same mistake, you are on your way to a lifestyle of rebellion. And here's the thing about rebellion. God opposes that and he pushes back from that. God, it repulses God. So that when we try to come to God, God's like, hang on a second now, don't come at me with that. You lay that down and then come. Are you following me? You lay that down first and then come to me. But don't think you are going to continually come into my presence with habitual sin. Don't think you're going to come and everything is going to be okay. If you wouldn't put up with that from your earthly relationship, partnership, we're just a shadow of the spiritual realm. If we won't do it, what makes us think that God will do it? Because he won't. We're living in a day where people, they don't want the truth. They want grace. Grace. When you begin to use grace to cover sin, my friend, you've moved into a level of, you're moving into a dangerous place. I've seen it. I've seen it in this church. I've seen it among our leadership team over the years. I've seen it in other churches. I've seen it in pastors in this county. We're seeing it in the nation right now, that we're like up to a scandal a week. It's ridiculous. You may not follow what's happening because your mind is in a certain world. You might be caught up in the stock market. I've known people that, man, they look at the stock market every day and their world is just wrapped up in the stock market. And they can't tell you anything else, but they can tell you that stock. I know other people that, man, they are glued to political stuff. They can't tell you anything going on in any other, and they're glued to that. Then I have other people that they're glued to other things. Listen to me. When it comes to paying attention, we need to be paying attention to spiritual leaders. We need to be paying attention. And when I say spiritual leaders, I'm talking about some of you. I'm talking about people like me. I'm talking about the people that we listen to. I used to listen to some people that I respected, and I'm like, oh, I can't listen to them anymore. They've gone off the deep end. They've all of a sudden, like major doctrines of the church, they've abandoned. Or you're beginning to see people, and I'm getting back to my phone call, okay, that I had with my childhood friend. We're beginning to see people, and it's like, oh, we'll overlook that. We'll overlook that sin in their life. Why? Because of grace, because of grace, because of grace. There's also truth. There's also truth. Like, no, you listen. I don't want you to think I'm throwing people under the bus. This is national news. Are you following me? This is national news. But we've got to be careful with the people that we are putting in front of us. I try to be careful with people who I repost stuff from. Most of my stuff on social media is repost stuff. And all of a sudden, I begin to see things in people's lives, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to create a boundary between me and some of this stuff, because there's sin. Some things that I've seen in people's lives, I didn't see any evidence of it. Many, many years ago, our church was in another building. I had people, they came to me and they said, hey, can we get a busload of our church and can we go to this particular event? And I said, I said, y'all can, you can do what you want to do because you're grown. But I said, we can't get something and it's a Destiny Church sanction. We're going down. Well, why not? I said, man, I can't explain it. Well, everybody, even big wig, super duper whooper whopper apostles are down there sanctioning it. And I said, can't say anything about that. Can't say anything about it, man. I just know I've watched something in my spirit does not line up with that. And I said, I know, I said, I may end up on the other side of this thing and I may look like the most judgmental person. I may look like a nut because I'm going up, and it's not like I'm going up against. I'm going up and saying one thing and all of the other super apostles are going down to get in the game. Not too many, I guess a year, it maybe took, came out that there was sexual impropriety. Not just one, two times, it was like group type stuff, sexual impropriety. There was all kinds of shady, shady stuff. Man, I'm telling you, the super duper whooper whopper apostle who was the biggest one, he kicked that dude to the curb so fast, it's almost like never had anything to do with that. I'm like, dude, you were the one on TV saying this is the next Apostle Paul. Yeah. I'm not saying that to vindicate myself. What I'm saying is it was on the wall, man. There were things that were being said and done that didn't line up. All right, so now you roll that over into culture and you start seeing leaders that just the other day, Michael Tate, DC Talk, comes out, not just one or two times, years. He's on stage. He's talking about the glory of God. This is one of DC Talk members. All right, he's on stage. Comes out, and he confesses, oh, convenient. I'm not saying we don't give him grace. That's convenient because they already have you on videotape with people in hotels. They already have you, evidence. And, oh, this has been going on where there's drugs involved for years, decades. Male upon male, sexual, for decades. And this is a man who's got children and a family. All right, I'm talking at top levels here. But you need to understand, it goes down to the seats that y'all are in and platform that I'm on. You know, when you have men of God who I've quoted from this stage, and they are going to P. Diddy's parties. You with me? You might not even know who I'm talking about. But when listen, I'm just telling you, Shay and I do not go to certain places because God has given a mantle upon us and a responsibility. And then, you know, and so me and my buddy were talking about some of these things. And then I'm like, if you want to just keep bringing them up. So what about Medea? I'm not going to go into it if you haven't seen it. But what about Medea? What about those leaders, Some of y'all looking at me like you're so confused. You'll have to go do your own snooping. This is all national news. But if you begin to look, friends, those three alone are connected. Those three alone are connected through parties, ungodly surroundings. But we're gonna, aren't we graceful? Aren't we graceful? You know, people mess up. No, friend. Messing up is you messed up. But you don't keep messing up and 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 messing up. No, somebody needs to step forward and say, hey, you, I don't care if you pastor one of the largest churches in America. You are out of order. You are out of line. God has given you a platform. And it is time that you come under the submission of some other leaders. And you are to step aside until you get some stuff together. Are you following me? It goes a little bit further than this. So we begin to get into a deeper conversation, and we begin to talk about things like Planned Parenthood. And so are you a Christian? You a Christian? Yet you will vote for people. And can I just talk to black folks here? Black folks who might be watching or black folks in the house. Y'all are my brothers and sisters. But why in the world? See, they're not aborting very many of my people, of my colors. But they are murdering by the, oh God, the numbers are just astounding. Why would I support somebody who is killing my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren that they actually want to exterminate my people? But we will overlook that great sin. See, we don't understand. Abortion is not convenient. It's not, I messed up, I'm knocked up, I'm fixing to have a baby, don't want it, not ready, convenience. If you think for a moment that you are that important, if you've had an abortion, I hate that for you. That must be a horrible thing for you. But if you think it's about you, it is not. It is about extinguishing the next prophetic movement of God. When you go throughout the Bible, Moses, that was the first great abortion. Pharaoh tried to kill every male because he is trying to get to the prophetic voice of the season. Now fast forward to Jesus. That was the second major abortion. Because Herod was trying to get rid of the next prophetic voice, Jesus. And we're so dumb. Sorry. We're so dumb that we think, oh, it's just convenient. It's just contraceptive mode for me. No. It's about extinguishing the prophets that are going to declare the coming of our Lord. That's what it's about. But we will forgive and gloss over. And the fact that we have denominations that are ordaining homosexuals, lesbians, when that is explicitly forbidden in the scripture, where we mishandle the things of God and it becomes an abomination that you would handle. Like, how many of you, this is going to sound gross, but I'm just at the point where today you just need to hear gross. How many of you would go to the bathroom, you would take a poop, you would wipe yourself with your hands, and you would go out and fix yourself a ham sandwich? That is what people will do with the Word of God, the bread of life. They will handle the horrid things of the world, and then we will come and try to serve up the bread of life. And those are just big name people. But now, let's turn it from that to us. We will do that in our family to our husbands and wives. We will do that in our church. Pastors will do it to people, and people will do it to their pastors. We'll do it to our children. We'll do it to co-workers. We will live ungodly, and we'll expect God to just bless us. Now, I need to get into the word here because we're running out of time. But this is what Romans 12, 1 through 3 says. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, so he's writing this not to unbelievers. He's writing this to people like us. He says, brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living, holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. All right? He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know what God's will is for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. He's saying to us, listen, if we give our bodies, what does that mean? Like, God, you want my flesh? No, God wants everything. He wants everything you possess. Give your body. Like, it's nothing to give away stuff, but like giving this away, this is the thing. This is not just a thing I possess. This is me. And he's saying, that's the most valuable gift that you can give God. And it's holy if you'll let it be. It's acceptable to God. He says, but don't copy the customs of the world. What does that mean? That means as believers, there are things that we cannot say, I love you, Lord, and I lift my hands, and I support Planned Parenthood, and I support gay marriages, and I support people shacking up however they want to do, and I support pornography, and I support all. No, no, but we will do that. We will do that. In this house, people watching, we have been touched by those things. We have doo-doo on our hands, and we come into the house of God, and we'll lift them up. God says, Paul says, you've got to let God transform your thinking. There's a way that seems right to a man. As he thinketh, so is he. But there's a way that seems right to a man. In the end, it leads to death. He's like, you got to change that. You have to change that. Listen to me. I know this kind of seems politically, but like, man, I'm a Republican, dyed in the wool, Republican, blah, blah, blah. That's all my family ever beat into me. And then I got to this place where I'm like, wait, I know we got a two-party system and all that, but like, no, who's right? Who's closest to this? Like,
well, I can't vote for whoever, because they're Planned Parenthood support it. And I can't be for them because I don't like, they said a cuss word the other day.
Well, you said one last week. Listen to me. No, it's who's closest to this. Because I don't know if they're Christians or not. Because they say they are. At the end of the day, only God knows. But who's closest? We have to allow God to transform some things in us. And there came a time in my life where it's like, I don't see myself in those categories. What I have to do is I got to come and I have to look at this thing. And I have to, well, where do they stand on this? And where do they stand on this? And where do they stand on this? And where do they stand on this? That's how I had to let God get a hold of my thinking. Because if I was in that other mindset, I'm going for the one I like the best, the personality I like. I'm going for all the wrong things. But we got to allow God to transform the way that we think. There are some people I had to cut out of my life. That's a hard thing to do. I've said goodbye to people I've known for decades. But I had to transform the way I thought about some things and some people. Doesn't mean that I don't love them. You understand what I'm saying? But I had to transform my way of thinking, because it's like, if you're not careful, you will love somebody so much, you will compromise truth. And you'll live in grace, but you won't be living in truth. There are people in my life, in my immediate family, that I'm praying for God to do something with. And I'm like, God, I'm willing to be as pliable as I can be, but I cannot negate the truth. I can't negate the truth. And it's not up to me if you walk away or not. It's not up to me, but are you following me? But I've got to stand up for truth. This actually is grace. It don't seem very graceful, Pastor Rife. It is. It is grace to say, I love you. I don't agree with you. That is sin. But I still love you. Are you following me? He says this. Look in verse 3. Paul says, because of the privilege and the authority that God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Like, he's not saying, hey, I got a suggestion for you guys. Take it or leave it. You know, you don't. I mean, it's just, it's negotiable. He's saying, listen, I'm giving you a warning. He says, don't think that you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Wait, hold up, Paul. Because I thought you were fixing to give us a warning. Like, y'all, all hell's fixing to break loose. That's a warning. Y'all, the devil, he's coming. Or he's over there. Like, to me, that's a warning. But you giving me a warning about me? Somebody in the house and listening online, you need to take this. We need to take this. That's why when I read this years ago, I'm like, Psalm 139, boom, hit me right between the eyes. I'm like, there are things about me that I'm blind to. Psalm 139 says, God, if there's anything in me that offends you, that I'm unaware of, I'm paraphrasing, but it says, God, point it out. Because I can allow you, Father, to take your spirit from me. Please don't take your spirit from me, God. Paul is giving us a warning to ourselves. And he says, listen, guys, don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself. I'm really not that bad, Pastor Rife. I'm really not. I'm not in a bad place. No, listen to me. That's your pride talking. That is your pride talking. That's your fear of shame. That's your fear of what other people are going to think about you, and it's sending you to hell. Pastor Rife, I'm not going to hell. I don't care what you say. I hope you don't. Let's look a little more, okay? Transformation is the evidence of my salvation. Say it with me. Transformation is the evidence of my salvation. Not the fact that you showed up here today. Not the fact that you wrote a check out and you're calling that your tithe and it's not a tithe. Hear me. Don't lie on your check. I don't want you to hear just money, but somebody needs to hear this. Don't lie on your check and say that's your tithe when you know that's a lie. Do you know that Ananias and Sapphira walked into the house of God and they're like, here's our offering, here, this is it. Really, this is it? Yep, everything. And the apostle said, wow. Your soul's fixing to be required of you. Dude, they dropped dead. Why? Not because of the amount. They dropped dead because they lied to God. That's why. Don't present yourself as something that you're not. I have gone through hell, fire, and brimstone because I tried my best to protect the platform. That if you stand here, you have to be reputable. That if you sing here or play instruments here, you cannot have rebellion. You cannot have open sin. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. I have had so much resistance. And guess where the resistance has come from? People out there. People out there. Not these people. Because you know who's in charge of up here, right? I am. I'm the leader. I don't say that arrogantly. You wouldn't expect to go to Walmart and the GM come and say, I need to speak to the person in charge. And the GM comes out and goes, really, you? Yeah, I'm the guy in charge. Well, that's arrogant. No, I'm the general manager. It's just my responsibility. It's my responsibility to guard this house. But what happens?
But I like the worship leader.
I love them. I do life with them. You just come in and sit and worship and intermingle here and there. I do life with them. You like them. I love them. But I do not love them enough to say, that is okay. Just do what you want to do. I love you, and here's the truth. I love you, and here's the truth. And transformation will either happen or it won't. Transformation is what is evidence of our true salvation. Look at this. This is the evidence of spiritual transformation. Number one, a holy life. Pastor Rife, man, I try to live holy, and I can't. You are using grace as an excuse to keep sinning. That's the truth. But Pastor Rife, you don't know, the struggle is real. Let's bring your struggles and my struggles. I think where I am in life, I've gotten to the place in life, and I'm not saying everybody in the room is like that. I've gotten to the place. People tell me all the time, man, you guys are so transparent. Thank you. I appreciate that. I try to be. Why? Because I want you to understand that as the pastor of the house, that I've had these struggles. Shay and I have had these struggles. I've had these issues. I've told you everything from I've almost lost my house due to foreclosure. I've told you the problems that Shay and I have had maritally. I've told you things about my children. I've told you struggles in the church. I've told you sexual sin that I had before we married. But, you know, in my earlier life, I told you about the trauma that I had. I told you about, like, I've confessed to you when I messed up in the church, when I mishandled things the wrong way. I've done all of that. Why? Because it is only by dragging those demons out into the public and into, when I say public, I'm I'm not asking you to come down and confess, but the scripture does say, confess your sins one to another. When you drag that stuff out, it no longer has control over you. But when you bring the demons that are assigned to you to church, and you're like, hey, buddy, just sit here under my Bible. We're going to hide you. Just sit here under my Bible. Guess what? They get up and they leave with you. And just like, a kid that you might have wrangled in public, when they get into their own setting, those demons go crazy. So when you get back to your house, they'll go crazy. When you drag those things out into the light, they no longer have power over you. Why? Because you admit it, but not only do you admit it, but now Lynn, my buddy, my prayer warrior, he is helping fight my battles with me. Are you following me? That's why community is so important. Fruit of the Spirit. Pastor Wesley did an amazing job. Fruit of the Spirit. There's only one fruit of the Spirit. It's listed in multiple characteristics: love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. Like the fruit of the Spirit. Like the fruit of the Spirit to your wife. The fruit of the Spirit to your parents, to your pastor, to your coworker or your boss. We don't get to pick and choose. The fruit of the Spirit that, you know, that person, just you want to slap them because they irritate you so much. The fruit of the Spirit. When we have that in our life, it's evidence that we're saved. What, I thought that was optional now, Pastor. No, it's not optional. You are a vine. He's the vine. We're the branches. We're grafted in. And there's so much scripture that it's like, hey, things that don't bear fruit, we cut down. Oh, I thought that was just a metaphor. No, dummy. That is real. That if we do not bear fruit, we are not saved. No, Pastor Rife, I think you're off theologically. I don't care what you think. I care what the Word says. If you do not bear fruit, you're not saved. I don't agree with that. It doesn't matter what you agree with. You need to go search the scriptures out. The third thing is this, gifts of the Spirit. If you are not operating in gifts of the Spirit, this is an evidence that you're saved. By itself alone, it is not evidence. It's with the others. But gifts of the Spirit, what will happen is we will overlook people who go to P. Diddy parties because they operate in some mighty gifts of the Spirit. You follow me? I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter what gifts you operate in. If you don't have all of these flowing in your life, all of these are operational and they all point to evidence. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. Do you habitually sin? Yeah, I got this porn issue. You're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Pastor Rife, I speak in tongues. You are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm challenging some people's theology in this room today. But I speak in tongues. Pastor Rife, it doesn't matter. You're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because devils speak in tongues. The purpose of Holy Spirit is not like, I wish I could say something to him. I wish I could say something to her about that. Bro, if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Holy Spirit is there to convict us. Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2 and 4 says that it is the power to be witnesses. The power to be witnesses. Well, Pastor, if I could tell anybody about Jesus, it does not mean to witness that way. That it doesn't exclude that. What it means is the number one, holy life. It's the power to live. It's a power to say no to pornography. It's the power to say no to an affair. It's a power to stop stealing. It's a power to shut your gossiping mouth. It's the power for all of these things. It's the power to stop being an agent of the enemy and sowing discord among people. It's the power for people to look at your life and go, dude, that guy is a man of God. Because they recognize the grace. Is it making sense? This is the last message on this, okay? They recognize the grace upon people's lives. And they go, that's a man of God. That's a good guy right there. That's a, you know. But if you're not repulsed, but Pastor Wright, I'm repulsed every time I do it. Yeah, the point is, you've got doo-doo on your hands. And you come in and you hold those hands up and try to worship the Lord with those. You think Holy Spirit, you're repulsed by behaviors and you're repulsed at how you act, how you treated your wife, how you treated your husband, that you took something that wasn't yours. You fill in the blank. And Holy Spirit told you time and time again. Holy Spirit, who lives inside of you, has said it over and over again, but you overrode that. You overrode it. You overrode it. You overrode it. And now you don't even know the voice of the Lord when He speaks to you. That's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will speak to you. He will not force you, but He will let you know, hey, you shouldn't have sent that email. Hey, don't send that email. Hey, you shouldn't have said that. Hey, you shouldn't have, you know, Holy Spirit will do these things for you. And it's like, when we are growing in grace, Pastor Wesley talked about excelling in the grace of giving. When we excel in grace, we begin to pay attention to what Holy Spirit is saying to us. And not override His decisions and counseling. And then the same Holy Spirit that we have overridden, all of a sudden when we get our tail in a tight spot, we want that counselor that we haven't listened to come and fix our problem. You're the counselor. You're the one who's supposed to be with us. Come comfort us. It's like, Holy Spirit's like, I've been trying to. Go wash your hands. Go wash your hands. Because I can't come near you until you let the washing of the water of the word. What that means is it's the washing of God's law, his moral code. Come and wash us. And then He says, and then come. Number five, love for others. 1 John 4:7-8 says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God. In other words, everyone who loves is one of God's children. But if you don't have the capacity to love, but I do love my wife. Do you? But I do love my body. Do you? You love your body. Yes, I take care of my body. I work out. I do all of this. You know, get my nails did and all of these things. But yet you lust and you let people lust after you and you are involved in this sexual sin and this and that and the other. You love your body? Then go, yeah, I love my body. Yeah, I love my husband. Yeah, I love my kids. Go read, because I don't think we understand love. Go read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because your version of love and God's version of love. I provide a good house for her. I got an incredible 401k. I take care of her. I have his meal on the table every day when he gets home at 6 o'clock. I give him sex anytime he wants. I take care of him. Really? Because your version of love sounds a little different than maybe this. Because y'all are constantly cutting each other down. You're so dishonoring in public. You're constantly bickering and fighting. And, you know, am I following? I'm telling you, go read 1 Corinthians 13. Get your love lined up with this, and then you'll be loving one another. Some truth bombs are hard to accept. Bring the music up. Some truth bombs are hard to accept because there's so much religion in the house. There's so much religion in the house. It breaks my heart that I have heard so many couples over the years tell me things about where they are in their lives, their marriages. And I'm like, well, why do you guys sin against each other like that? What? That? How old are you? How long have you been in the church? Do you not know what the word says about what you're doing? It says that what y'all are doing to each other as a couple, what you're doing to your children, do you not know? That's sin. I just can't. Turn over to Ephesians. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Like, there's so many, and I'm like, because we're hearers of the word, not doers. Hearers of the word and not doers. And listen to me, church family. My salvation is evidenced through what? I just had it on screen. Transformation, not information. I don't care how much you know about the Lord. Materially, intellectually, nobody knows more about God probably than Satan. It doesn't matter the amount of information, how many days you've come to church. If you were raised in church, you know, Shay has a pedigree. Our children have a pedigree. My children were raised in church. Their mom was raised in church. Their grandparents were raised in church. Their great-grandparents were raised in church. Like, whoop-de-doo. None of that matters unless there's transformation. I want you to look at this. You'll understand the wolf and the sheep here in just a second when we read Matthew chapter 7. If there's no evidence of transformation, you're not saved. You're deceived. Pastor Reif, now you got me confused. Hear me, church family. Satan is the author of confusion. I don't have you confused. If you're confused, that's the enemy trying to intercept your frequencies. Pastor Reif, I don't have everything perfect in my life. Bro, there's a difference than me and Shay having an argument. Are you following me? There's a difference. I mean, we had two arguments this week over dumb stuff. You want me to tell you one of them? She had to leave to go get some supplies for her meeting this afternoon. So I won't take advantage of this. I walk up the stairs and she's got trash in her hands. And I said, what are you doing? She's like, I'm emptying the trash. And I said, no, you're not. She just looks at me with this puzzled look on her face. And I said, go put the trash back in the trash cans. And she said, I'm just going to take it downstairs. I said, no, we have a cleaning lady coming. And she does that for us. That's what we pay her for. Now, you have to understand this. I'm not saying that condescendingly, because Petra, who cleans my house, we also hire her to clean the church. I love Petra. I am, even though I'm not her pastor, I am a pastor to Petra. I love Petra. And I said, go put that trash back. Petra's coming to clean our house. And so Shay just like looks dejected and she goes back. And because why is she going back? I knew if I turned my back on her, she would go take it downstairs. But I meant for her to do what I said. And I said, if you don't, listen to me, if you do Petra's job for her, Petra may get into a mindset of like, I'm not even going to check those. They probably got them. And the one time that she doesn't get them, you're going to get upset. But you've been training her the whole time. So what I'm saying about all of this is Shay and I had that little dumb argument. Does that mean my marriage is failing? Does that mean that Shay and I, we need to call our counselor up because we do have one? Does that mean that we got to call her and make an appointment over that? No. Because we have those little things. But there's issues that are bigger. We know they're bigger. Whether it's in you, marriage, finances, whatever. And we will let pride. I'm telling you, church, this is serious business. We are going to let pride send us to hell. We are going to let the fact that we're thinking more highly of ourselves than we really ought to send us to hell. If there's not any evidence of transformation, you're not saved. Pastor Rife, I'm scared. You don't have to be. Because God's grace, He forgives us. He makes us right with God. And the areas where we fall short, that's where grace really does us good. Where grace fails, grace cannot sustain. It's not made for that. It cannot sustain habitual sin, and it won't. So, if there's no evidence of transformation, you're not saved, you're deceived. Now look at this scripture real quick. Matthew chapter 7. Let's go there quickly. Jesus is talking about these are true disciples. See, you and I, we don't have special Jesus glasses that we can put on like we can in the movie theater. And when we put these on, only the true believers are still visible. And you go, where'd everybody go? We don't have that. Only Jesus and the person really know where they stand with God. But he says there are ways that you can know true believers. So he starts talking about it right here. He says, beware false prophets. Those who come disguised as harmless sheep, but they're really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree, this is important, every tree that does not produce good fruit, it's chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Verse 21, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. And we performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. What he's saying right here, church, is there are people They look one way and they're a whole different way. We like to say those are hypocrites. Those are hypocrites. Listen, we've all been a hypocrite at some point in our life, every single person in this room, including me. He's talking about something deeper than hypocrites. He's talking about people who are completely deceived. These people that he's talking about, when you get down to the very end, none of them said, "Oh, you got me. You got me. You call me out. You call me red-handed or poopy-handed." None of them said that. Why? They were deceived. Why? Because we're doing religious stuff. We did miracles in your name. We prophesied in your name. Listen, if you think speaking in tongues gets you any place with me, no, I've been in services where I've heard devils speak in tongues. I've been in services where I heard well-intentioned people that just didn't know what they were doing miss it. And somebody that you think, because you give this incredible generous gift to the that means something, but it does not get you any special places. It doesn't matter. These people were doing religious stuff. They thought what they were doing was going to be pleasing to God. At the end of the day, God is concerned about Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3. Brothers, present your body to the Lord. Not your gift. Not your spiritual gift. Not your fruit. Because there's a lot of mean-spirited, unbelieving people and believing people who you can manipulate gifts. You'll be kind to my face, but you'll go home and you'll cuss your wife out. You'll be kind to me, and you're giving here, but you're stealing that. You see what I'm saying? Like, it is, man, I'm telling you, there are people who they truly believe everything is good and I can still live this way. And I'm saying to you, you are on your way to hell in a handbasket, breaking the sound barrier. Jesus, that is so tense, Pastor Rife. Well, here's why I'm doing it. Because one day, every single one of us is going to show up. And we're all going to be aware of each other's presence, wherever that is, at the judgment. The righteous and the unrighteous. That's what he's talking about right here. The righteous and the unrighteous are going to show up. And when he says, you're like, Pastor Wright, you're like, Lord, I was an elder at Destiny Church. He's like, I don't know you. And when he says, like, you have to leave, I don't want a person in this room or any person that I've ever had relationship to be walking away assuming that I'm not walking with you. But for the grace of God, there I go. I'm assuming that I am not going to be departing from his presence. But if I don't, and somebody in this room or somebody I've known in the past goes, dude, why didn't you say something? This is on you, man. This is on you. I do not want that on my conscience, and it will not be. Today, you got to decide what you are going to do with this. Woo, Pastor Rife, man, you gave me something to think about. I'm going to start doing better. No, bro, you don't start doing better. You allow Holy Spirit to transform your life. Look, 1 Corinthians, I'm trying to hurry, guys. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Don't you realize that those who do wrong, in other words, the unrighteous, will not inherit the kingdom of God? What does that mean? Where are they? They're going to go to the kingdom of darkness. They're going to live in eternity separated from God's presence. We can debate, listen, and I don't even care. I don't care what color carpet hell has. I don't care what thermostat it's on. I don't care about any of that stuff. The bottom line, hell is eternal separation from the presence of God. That is what it is. And he says, don't you realize that those who do wrong, the unrighteous, will not inherit the kingdom of God? He's like, man, don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge, look at this, those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or abusive or cheap people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. And there's a big sigh of relief in Destiny Church going, whoo, thank you, Jesus, because I'm none of those. Whew. Man, I thought I was breaking the speed barrier, sound barrier on my way to hell the way Pastor Rife was talking. Thank you, God, I'm none of those. Don't fool yourself. Look at the screen. Don't fool yourselves. Those who do wrong. Those who do wrong are unrighteous. Look at James 4:17. Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, to him it's sin. Wait, hang on, Pastor Rife. I thought you just listed the sins that were... No, dude. Those are the sins that Corinth was dealing with. That's why he listed them. Because in that church that he's writing that to, he's saying, let me back up to it. He says, those who do wrong are not going to make it, guys. And so let me tell you what that looks like at Destiny, Corinth. Let me tell you what that looks like at Corinth. Y'all know that in the church here, there. Are you following me? Y'all know that our local church in Corinth, y'all know that we've been worshiping idols. You know we've been worshiping idols. You know you have idols set up in your home. Why? Because Margaret, y'all invited them over for barbecue chicken casserole the other night. They saw the Asherah pole up in, you know, they saw the idols. You know that there's sexual immorality. Y'all know that. He called out. He's like, you've been sleeping with your mother-in-law. Y'all know that there's adultery going on in the church. He's going down. He's like, y'all know, you know there's homosexuality going on in this church in Corinth. But he's not limiting. He's saying, when we know there are things to do right and we don't do those, that's sin for us. It's so much broader than that. So look at this. This is how we activate this. You can go out of here. You can do what you want to with it. You have to renounce your old way of life. Renouncing is simply rejecting it. I reject it. I'm not going to treat him that way anymore. I'm not going to treat her that way anymore. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to go with that person. I'm not going to have sex with this one. I'm not going to steal that stuff. I'm not going to take these drugs and put them into my body. I'm not going to do that to my children. You fill in the blank. But whatever that old way of life, that does not line up with the fruit of the Spirit, with the gifts of the Spirit, with the living a holy life, that you renounce that. I'm done with that. I'm not living that way anymore. And the second thing is this, is that you receive the grace of God. And not just the forgiveness, but everything that Jesus has for us. You receive the grace of God. See, the problem with the church is that just people want to get out of hell free card. thank God I'm not going to hell. I'm not really interested in like becoming a full-fledged card-toting member of the church. Like, I don't, I'm like, I just want to not go to hell, but I still want to get jiggy with her. I just don't want to go to hell, but I'm not submitting this problem to the Lord that's displeasing with him. I just don't want to go to hell. I personally don't mind the smell of poop on my hands when I come to church to worship. It doesn't bother me. No, that is an abuse of God's grace. Receive his grace and forgiveness. But there's so much more. Because listen, if you don't receive the more, you're going to always be broke. Your family's going to be broke. Your relationships are going to be broke. All these issues, you're going to be sick. Like, you're, why? Because you're not living under the umbrella of God. When you come into this house and you sing songs like, everything I need, everything, you can't sing that with honor and truth. Some of the things I need and a lot of stuff I don't want, you know. No, he wants it all. Receiving the grace of God. And here's the last one. Repenting. This is a change of behavior. We have dumbed repentance down to, I said I was sorry. What more do you want? I said I was sorry, God. Like I said I was sorry. That's not repentance. You don't know what that meaning is. Culture has redefined it. Repentance literally means a behavior change. That, yes, I did do that, but I don't anymore. Before I met Shay, I know I was young. I was just a kid, you know, and I didn't know Jesus. But I slept around. I thought, I actually was raised among heathens that that's what boys were supposed to do. Like, you go and you get as much of those women and things as you can. So I don't get to marry Shay and become a believer and have the knowledge of these scriptures and go, but I still get to do it. No, I don't. I don't. I had to change my behavior. And that was a part of my life that I could not go back to. Change behavior. This is the last thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to let it go. When my kids were young, they knew if you don't change your behavior, your apology is just cheap. I don't respect your apology unless you change your behavior. And we are not going to say, Daddy, I'm sorry in this house. And not mean it. What proves you mean it? Evidence of changed behavior. And I gave you 5 ways that you can know you're saved. I'm going to say a prayer of salvation in this house. And you're going to go out of this place today. Listen to me. This means so much to me, church family. It's 12:09. I promise I'm getting ready to let you go. This means so much to me that I'm not asking you to come forward. I'm not asking one of our staff people like, all right, Caitlin, we're going to get some hands, and can you write this down? Because I need to report how many salvations happened today. None of that matters to me. What matters to me is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I don't write it there. Holy Spirit writes your name there. And today, that when you walk out of this place, that you go, God, am I deceived? You're not going to walk out of this place. Listen to me. I'm giving you some instruction. You're not going to walk out of this place and go, well, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Listen, only babies in Christ, only young believers in Christ should have those conversations. If you've been at church, any length of time and you've heard grace messages and salvation messages and wholeness messages, you don't have to go like, my God, am I even saved? I don't even know if I'm saved. No, you know you're saved. You just don't want to take responsibility of transformation that comes from you. You have to do it. Well, I just need God to help me. He's already given you what you need. Holy Spirit, come, and He will give you self-control. So, I'm praying with my eyes open. You can do what you want. Holy Spirit, say this with me. Holy Spirit, today I hear your word. I want to be right with you, God. Not because I fear hell, but because I fear and revere you. Because I love you. Your word says, because of your great love for me, that you have given me your grace. You give me grace, you love me. Today, Father, I receive your grace. Apply your blood to my life. My sins are forgiven. I am clean. I am saved. Not because I feel it, but because I know it. Because your word says it. Now, Father, place your Holy Spirit in me. I receive your Holy Spirit. Come baptize me in your Spirit. I'm clearing out space for you in my life right now, God. Come fill me, Holy Spirit. Saturate me, Holy Spirit. And now that I have welcomed you to baptize me, I give you permission to lead and guide me. I have the fruit of self-control. I can control myself. I can control my anger, my porn addiction, my lying habit, my meth habit, every habit that I have. I can control my tongue. I can control my eyes, and I can control my body because you've given me the power to. In the beautiful name of Jesus, I'm yours and you're mine. Amen.